Hi, it's Michael Jackson, and it's my birthday today. I love you.
Time out. Time out. Come on, y'all. Come on.
Ray Ray is fundamental, number one podcast from the get-go. And since you're listening, you got good sense, so let me break it down on this instrumental. It's basketball and all its essences. It's full of pop culture references.
Okay.
Point guards to stretch fours and fives, the last Buffy episode. The Spike survived?
Yeah.
Never mind, let me get on track. Houston had a good run, and their team was stacked. We had plans for the T-Wolves, y'all remember?
Yeah.
Quick question in sync, who's your favorite remember? Oops, I did it again. Hold up, wait, best team on the court, probably Golden State.
Yeah.
Curry and them, yeah, they out this world, but ask Ray is top five, he's saying the Spice Girls.
What's up, Internet? This is the Ray Ray is Fundamental Podcast, episode 103, recorded August 29, 2018. Yeah, it's Michael Jackson's birthday. He would have been 60 today. Brought to you by RayRay.net. My name is Ray Ray, and I'm fundamental. What's up? I guess the talk for this episode is more WNBA playoffs, really. But I'm still really in this baffled stage where men just hate women, and that's probably a regular thing in this world today. No, it's always been a regular thing in this world today. But it's so funny how men, a lot of men are just so angry about women asking for more pay. We've seen it on social media recently. We know Skylar Diggins-Smith recently spoke out, and, you know, some bastard, really, like, decides to make up a quote about Brittany Griner talking crap about, you know, Tyler Johnson. Like, how the hell was he dragged into this? But, yeah, I'm not gonna name the publisher or whoever made up that quote because he needs to get a life and whatnot. But, it's funny, like, that. It's such libelous crap that, these guys are making up for these WNBA players who just want a better, pay for their jobs because these women aren't getting paid enough to play professional basketball here in the United States, so they go overseas to make more money. And sometimes it's like even more, like four times more or five times more, even more than that, than what they get paid in the WNBA. So we're still in this conundrum about, you know, WNBA players needing to get more money from the league. And I think with them speaking out about this sort of thing, I really hope that they get they take a look at this. You know, amongst other things, besides the flights that, you know, like they're still flying commercial, they should be flying charter. And they get paid enough to the point where they don't have to go overseas and they can rest their bodies and we can get the best competition, best product on the floor when they do play, during the summer. It didn't help that, this year is condensed into 3 months, basically, for this season because, they have the World Championships coming up this year, I believe. So it's condensed this year. But nevertheless, we're just saying that they just need a better playing field. They need to get paid more. And so that they don't have to go, you know, play more basketball than they should overseas. You know, like the NBA. Like, do you see NBA players, like, go overseas just to, you know, make more money and whatnot? I mean, they get paid enough. And I think it's really funny that the NBA has, like, what? They had a like $7 billion revenue. I wish they could help out the WNBA somewhat. I know, I think the revenue for WNBA is $25 million. Maybe it'll be more this year because attendance isn't as great, but the ratings are up, right? So hopefully, you know, this all gets solved in the next few years or whatever. It won't happen overnight, obviously. But, you know, here's hoping for a better days for the WNBA and women's sports ahead, really. So, I discuss more of the WNBA and women's sports in general, or women in sports, or women in entertainment in general, with LA Sports Access's Delmi Barrios. She's a mutual friend, actually, by friend of the podcast, my friend, Anna Melissa. We actually met at a Christmas party briefly, but this episode is our first conversation for reals. Like, we talk on Twitter. We don't talk on Twitter. We just, like, tweet each other or whatever, have fun and whatnot. But, you know, this is our first real conversation, and it's a good one. You guys really should listen to it. She knows a lot about the WNBA and women's sports in general. So, yeah, take a listen. W. Maria, sorry, everyone. But before we start the interview, just a reminder, you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, find it on Stitcher, Anchor, Android, whatever podcast app you prefer. If all else fails, you can find the podcast at rayray.net/fun. That's the home site. Follow me on Twitter, the Don't Look Pass. Follow the podcast Twitter at rayrayisfun. That's it. We might discuss Michael Jackson more in this podcast too, because it is his birthday after all. So, you know how it goes. It goes off the rails. That's how I always operate, right? Promo, then interview.
It's Kristen Ledlow from NBA Inside Stuff, and I was once on the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast. Once. That was enough.
Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast, episode 103. My guest. She currently covers the LA Sparks, the LA Clippers, the LA Galaxy, the LA Football Club for LA Sports Access, so she's pretty much your go-to in the Los Angeles professional sports scene. It's Delmi Barrios. I said your name right. What's up?
You did. Yay.
How's it going?
Good, good. How are you?
I am good. It's a little hot, but, you know, I mean, I can't wait for summer to be over, honestly. It's weird because I know, like, L.A., usually hot or whatever. We should be used to this, but I'm not anymore. I don't know. I don't like
I'm not
it.
Either. I'm not either. Let me tell you, I was born and raised here, and everyone always says you should be used to it by now. Nope. I hate summer.
Yeah, me too. Like, it used to be cool when it's like when we're in elementary or high school because we get the summer off from school, and it seems like the greatest thing going, but now it's just like, I don't want anything above 75 anymore. I just
yeah,
can't do it anymore.
I agree.
Yeah, so... So, funny thing is that I met you very briefly at a Christmas party hosted by our good friend Anna Melissa, who was also on this podcast recently.
Yeah.
So, but really, this is our first real conversation. I'm kind of nervous about this now.
Oh, I'm nervous too. I don't know why. Go easy on me.
Oh, come on. I'm not. I'm just like some weird guy on Twitter you probably met, and it's just like I'm just talking weird about like any sport out there. So I don't know. So, but how did you get started in this crazy business? Was this always the dream? Was this always the go-to?
This crazy business. I love that. That's how you describe it.
It is pretty crazy.
So how did I get started? I actually come from an entertainment background.
Okay.
So before I did sports, I covered entertainment. And I went, yeah, I guess it was always a dream. Probably going back to high school, I knew that I wanted to be in journalism in some type of way, shape, or form. And at the time, I wanted to be an entertainment reporter. So that was the initial goal. Got an internship. A job, and then the rest is history, as they say.
So, were you a big avid sports fan, like growing up? Was it something that triggered you to go ahead and make the switch somehow to sports?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up watching basketball and soccer. My dad used to take me and my younger brother as kids to LA Galaxy games back when they played at the Rose Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that was forever ago. So that's kind of, my dad is a huge sports fan. I think that's kind of where I got it from, just from going to games all the time with him. And I have three brothers total, so I grew up around, you know, guys watching sports. And that's kind of where the love for it came. And along the way, at some point, I discovered basketball, and that was really when I just kind of fell in love with sports. And yeah, I guess I've always loved it, but I never thought it was an option to pursuing a career in sports.
Mm-hmm.
Because for so long it was entertainment. But yeah, I don't think I ever imagined that I would be covering sports now, and it's the best job I could have ever imagined having.
Who were your sports heroes growing up? You mentioned LA Galaxy, so I assume it's like, I don't know. Who's it? God. Beckham obviously was in the Galaxy recently, but I don't even remember.
Way out there.
Go ahead.
Galaxy-wise, I don't know if I would say that there was ever a player that I was like, oh my gosh, he's my hero. I know that probably the best sports memories or the players that I remember growing up with were Kevin Garnett and Kobe Bryant, actually. Those are the two that from a younger age, and I've been watching them for forever, so those are the two ones that immediately come to mind that I have, like, my earliest memories from.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned entertainment, so any heroes on that genre, I guess you can say, that made you want to pursue that?
I guess when I was younger, I really looked up to someone like Katie Couric. I loved her interview style. I loved that she went just beyond, you know, beyond the outer layer. So she was someone that I definitely looked up to and, in the business. But aside from that, no, not really. I don't think there's any specific person that I was like, oh my gosh, this person's my idol. I just thought it was fun. I thought it was a fun industry, you know, who doesn't like music and movies and meeting your favorite musicians and actors. So initially the whole idea of it was very, you know, exciting for me.
Mm-hmm. So, I knew you as a WNBA reporter, basically. So, when did you start watching the WNBA? Did you start watching for the jump? Like, oh my god, it's a long time ago.
No. No, I didn't. I wish I would have, but probably wasn't, I want to say maybe about 4 years ago, which isn't, I don't think it's that long ago.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I would have got introduced to it sooner and followed along for a longer period of time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, about 4 years ago is pretty much when I started paying attention to it, and now we're here.
Yeah, I asked women on this podcast recently too, like, do you think the WNBA has turned a corner? Because we're getting so much coverage now on the league, even though there's some libelous stuff going on in the background too.
Right.
But a lot of people are talking about it on social media. Ratings are up. You think this is the turning point of the league?
100%. I mean, I've been covering the Spark specifically for 2.5 seasons, almost 3 seasons.
Right.
And when I compare, I hear everyone's opinions, and yes, I absolutely agree that there's a lot of things that can be improved on and things that I wish to be set up as far as the process of growing it. But at the same time, when I look at where it was 2.5 years ago compared to now, I absolutely see a huge difference. People are talking about it a lot more. Social media interaction is probably bigger than ever.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so many aspects of it that have improved drastically that I feel this year by far was, you know, the best as far as getting more exposure for it and, you know, bringing awareness to the league.
I feel bad, actually, because, like, you know, I've watched WNBA casually since the beginning, which means I'm really old, but, the thing is, it's like, I wish I tweeted about it more in years past, because I've been on Twitter forever, and I just decided now, oh, I'll tweet about it a lot more from the start, from the beginning of the season, and I really wish that I tweeted about the WNBA, like, 10 years ago or something, because, you know, they need all the help they can get, you know, and they still do, honestly. Considering what's going on right now in terms of the pay gap argument and whatnot. So, you know.
Yeah, and to that point, I think it's great when people do tweet about it because I think people have been fans for a while, but maybe because it's not necessarily the quote-unquote cool sport to support or whatever you want to call it, people won't vocalize their opinions or tweet about it. And I think now because everyone tweets about it, everyone talks about it, you have amazing players, everyone's so vocal about it, I think people feel more open to discuss players, discuss games. So I think it's awesome that people are jumping on and, you know, being more vocal about the whole league as a whole.
Yeah, it's very encouraging to see NBA people talk about WNBA as well, like the NBA writers and stuff like that. Even NBA players. NBA players have been actually very supportive of the WNBA for a while now. But it's good to see the writers. Even me, I should punch myself in the face for like not doing it earlier, but, you know, that the WNBA is getting a lot more support this year, and hopefully it keeps going. So,
absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about the games from last night. Mystics Dream, Mercury Storms, the WNBA semifinals. The Dream tied the series game two, but Elena Deladon hurt her knee 3 minutes left in the game. And she's actually questionable for game three, which is kind of amazing, actually. So
I know.
Yeah. So Jessica Breland nearly had a triple-double, 10-14, and 7 blocks. So what do you think of this series so far?
Can we talk about Elena Deladon for a second?
Yeah.
I was certain that her injury was worse than what it turned out. And thank God it wasn't. I'm so glad she was listed as questionable. Obviously, the injury wasn't as bad as it looked or as we imagined. But I thought for sure, there's no way they'd play her. And then this morning or earlier today, they announced that, yeah, she's questionable, which I'm sure every Washington fan is completely relieved about, because I honestly think that they're going to make it to the finals. Mm-hmm. I 100% believe that they're going to make it to the finals. I don't think it's ever been a question on my mind up until Deladon went down with that potential huge injury.
One thing I noticed, a little bit of difference between the WNBA and the NBA, like, that spot that they've been slipping on a few times in that game, actually.
Yeah.
I noticed that. How come I don't see, like, cleaners cleaning that spot? Like, we see in the NBA all the time where they clean it, like, every 30 yeah. seconds it seems, but we don't see that in the WNBA, and that's kind of discouraging.
Yeah, and I agree, and that's actually something that I don't even think I actually put a lot of thought into prior to last night's game, mm-hmm. because, yeah, that's what everyone was speaking about. She wasn't the only one that slipped in the same area. There were multiple instances throughout the game where it happened, mm-hmm. and that obviously becomes a huge concern, especially moving forward. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to answer your question, because I honestly have no idea.
Right.
And again, it was even something, now it makes me even think of our games here in LA, like with the Sparks play, like how often are there people, how often do they clean the floors, and that kind of thing. It's not something that I necessarily even paid attention to up until last night.
Right.
But it's obviously a huge, that's a problem.
Yeah.
It's a huge problem.
Yeah. Definitely, amongst others, besides, like, you know, flights, like the Las Vegas Aces faced
yeah.
recently. Obviously, the pay gap. So that's just one of numerous problems for the WNBA, even though, of course, we think that it's turned a corner this year. What's up with Christy Tolliver? She hasn't been really great on these playoffs so far. They really need her for the Mystics to win the series.
Absolutely. I mean, we saw her kind of step up after Deladon was out yesterday's game. But, yeah, she hasn't – I don't think we've seen the best of her yet.
Yeah.
But also, we all know what she's capable of doing. She's just – she's an amazing player, and I don't – I wouldn't necessarily underestimate her, you know? Not yet. I don't think we've seen the best of her, and I think maybe with the whole, you know, Deladon injury and the accident that happened – maybe it could be a little bit of a wake-up call. You know, maybe it could have, you know, enlightened something in her. I mean, even post-team conference, I think she shed a tear. She was obviously visibly upset by what happened to her teammate. But I think, obviously, she has a lot more in her, and I think she's getting started. Obviously, we want to see her get going ASAP because, you know, they don't want to lose a game. But I'm sure she will bring it. I'm sure we haven't seen, obviously, the best of her yet.
WNBA only has 12 teams, so they have deeper rosters, and sometimes all you need to do is give a woman a chance to play, and they can come up with a bigger mm-hmm. game. So, with that said, yes. Do you still think the Mystics are the favorites to win this series, even without Elena Deladon?
Yes, mm-hmm. I do. I think I would still take the Mystics over the Dream. Obviously, without her,
yeah.
without her, it's not going to be an easy trip to the finals, regardless. Mm-hmm. But obviously, without her, especially given her size and her length, that's a huge piece that they're missing. Do I feel like they can still pull it off? 100%. I don't doubt them. I think they have a great chemistry among them. They have great shooters. I think that my money will still be that Washington pulls through.
Okay. On the other side of the semifinals, we had the Phoenix Mercury and the Seattle Storm. Storm are up 2-0. After that really exciting game last night that went overtime. Brianna Stewart went for 27. Diana Taurasi scored like a million points in overtime in the fourth quarter. Kidding. 17 points in the fourth quarter overtime. out of her 28, she had the game tying 3. Still, Seattle, they're really, really good.
I know. Let me tell you, I was having a meltdown in, you know, towards the end of that game. I couldn't take it. And before I even went to overtime, I thought to myself, there's no way I can emotionally handle an overtime.
Uh-huh.
And sure enough, it went into overtime. And then, you know, like you said, Seattle pulled through. I don't know what to think of this series. I want to believe that Phoenix can somehow pull this off and make it to the finals. In my perfect world, it would be Washington-Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the way that Seattle is playing, I mean, how old is Sue Bird? I feel like she keeps getting better and better. And then, of course, you have new MVP, Breonna Stewart. You have Jewel Boyd. It's just, I just don't know if I, deep in my heart, believe that it will be Phoenix. And, yeah, obviously, no question about it, Diana Taurasi is GOAT, absolutely, which she did yesterday with an amazing performance. However, it cannot just be a fourth quarter performance. You know what I mean? Like, you can't play at that level and with that intensity just towards the end. That's not going to work. And I think my biggest issue so far with this series has been her frustrations, her emotions. Obviously, a lot of, you know, different situations and calls that I understand why Taurasi has shown a lot of frustration, but I feel like it's gotten to the point where it is affecting her team,
mm-hmm.
and it is affecting her game. And emotionally, I think that she needs to get it together
mm-hmm.
and change that mentality a little bit, because I feel like ultimately that's what's going to get the best of her. And then obviously Griner, we can't have her fouling out. That's just not going to work. It's not going to work for Phoenix.
Right. To answer your question about Sue Bird's age, I don't want to answer anything about 25. but my goodness, Sue Bird, I mean, she's been around for a long time, and what, she had a career best in three-point percentage this year? Like, that's amazing to me.
I know.
And Diana Taurasi, obviously the greatest of all time, as some people say already. As long as she's breathing and she's on the court, I always think the Phoenix Mercury have a chance. And the good news for the Mercury...
Very good point.
Yeah. The good news for the Mercury is that, like, while they've lost both games, they did come back from, what, 16 down and 19 down both games?
Yeah.
So, it's still... I feel like it's still anybody's series in that sense.
Yeah, and you have a point, you know, coming from such a large deficit. At least they know they have it in them to get themselves out of that hole.
Mm-hmm.
However, on that same note, it's very difficult for a team when you are down for so many points to be able to pull off that energy game after game to just even stay in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So they just can't. They can't keep putting themselves in that situation. They just can't. Have to be able to come out, have a strong first quarter, and maintain, you know, some kind of at least same level scoring, because once you have these double digit deficits, you're basically just fighting to come back, get back into the game.
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you want is for another game to, you know, to have be down 16 points and have to do it all over again. It just drains your energy. Good news for Phoenix is that they do go home for the next couple of games, so, you know, you have that home court advantage, which is always helpful.
Are you going to go attend game 3?
Yes, of course. yeah, actually, it'll be tomorrow, so I'll be there. I'll be there for the weekend.
Sweet. Yeah, I think it's pretty hilarious that we're actually in Phoenix in the same weekend, but we were attending for different reasons.
I know. I was there covering the LA Sparks Phoenix game a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And I invited you to come top golf. With us, but you blew me off, which is okay. I'm not bitter at all.
Hey, now? You're making me out to be some sort of, like, oh, never mind. Seattle's just really, really stacked, though. And it's just so tough to, like, come down from 16 against, like, the MVP, Breonna Stewart, and probably the greatest, mm-hmm. One of the greatest point guards in women's basketball history in Sue Bird. Like, that's just asking for a lot, basically. So,
Yeah, I agree. And unfortunately, I feel like when I, you know, see pros and cons for both teams, I feel like ultimately Phoenix is kind of screwed in this situation. Best case scenario, I mean, the best case scenario is they win both games at home. Mm-hmm. That puts the series at, what, 2-2? They go back to Seattle for that last game, and I'm not trying to be, you know, a negative Nancy over here, but it's gonna take a lot. I mean, if Taurasi can make this happen somehow, I mean, she obviously should be declared GOAT officially.
Yeah, so, I mean, I'm rooting for a five-game series because obviously we want sports to be as dramatic as possible. So, here's hoping for a five-game series.
It's Jasmine Brown, and you're listening to the Ray Reyes Fundamental Podcast.
So, I've asked this to every woman that I've had on this podcast so far. So, you're a woman in sports. I've pretty much asked this to everybody. What's your advice to young girls and young women that want to get into sports media or even sports itself?
My advice. I don't know if I would necessarily say that my advice is just for women in the industry. I feel like if you're good at what you do, your work will speak for itself. And I've been very fortunate that, you know, for the most part of my career, I haven't really had those judgments from men or have that, just because I feel like people will acknowledge when you're a hard worker and you're good at what you do. But my advice generally would be, if this is something that you're really passionate about and that you want to pursue, internships, I feel, are a huge component to that. They've helped me tremendously. You meet a lot of people, you network. It's just something that really helps. Mm-hmm. And also just creating your own opportunities. There's a lot of people out there that are pursuing this field, a lot of people that want to be reporters, a lot of people that want to be writers or want to be this or want to be that. Obviously, apply, network, try and get something. But if that doesn't come as fast as you'd like for it to come, create your own opportunities. Start your own blog. Start your own YouTube channel. Start your own podcast. Like, there's so many ways that you can get your work across, you know, to people in this day and age, that it's such a waste for someone to not take advantage of that, to take advantage of social media and all of that, then I feel like that's a very good point for anyone to start something creative that can be put out there and have the world, you know, being able to see it or read your work and watch your videos. So that would be my advice. Just create your own opportunities if they're not coming to you. Pick up an internship if you're able to. Reach out to your peers. Everyone is more than willing to help you and give you advice and, you know, direct you to the right people. Just don't be afraid to ask for help. That was a handful. But
right.
That's what I would say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, how's your experience been? Because obviously every woman's gone through like a lot of backlash from dudes that are just like, hey, so you're a basketball fan, name me the 93 Lakers team, and give me all their favorite drinks or whatever.
Yeah. It happened to me before. I won't lie. Situations like that have, especially when I'm trying to just get to know someone, you know, like in private life, like that, those situations have happened to me before. Obviously it's not fun. I've heard many people say this before, and it's very sad that, you know, we have to say this, but yeah, it's something that you kind of get used to, and I think in the beginning, it would really bother me a lot, like it would ruin my day, bother me type of way,
right?
And at some point through that, I just learned to just not, well, first of all, why am I going to let someone who's making a comment and a general statement about a person even ruin my day?
Right.
I feel like that's me giving them too much power to begin with. So I don't like to do that anymore, period. But also, I feel like these are just insecure boys. I'm not going to call them men, even if they still, you know, say any of this stuff or treat women this way. I think it's just very insecure boys who can't, I'm not saying every person's like this, but I feel like sometimes it's very hard for a male to accept that a woman might know a little bit more than they do.
Right.
And that's where insecurities come in. And I don't know, I think I've reached a point where I'm okay with that. I'm okay. Like, it's almost flattering where it's like, okay, you feel very insecure that you feel you have to insult me because I do know a little bit more than you do.
Right.
Okay, well, that's flattering. Thank you. I'm glad I ruined your day, type of way.
Yeah.
But it's just, you know, in any industry, I feel, in this business, you kind of do have to develop a little bit of thick skin,
yeah.
I would say, something that I definitely did not have when I first started. And, you know, as you go along the way, you just kind of learn to understand what's important and what's not, not letting people's comments affect you,
mm-hmm.
Not letting all of that get in the way of your goal. But yeah, it's unfortunate. A lot of women have to go through this, and, you know, it's just part of life, I guess, and I'm sure at some point, people will stop making these comments, and people will just respect everyone and not have to generalize or make it a gender thing. But until then, yeah, I guess you just kind of learn to just brush it off, and you keep doing you, and keep, because obviously you're doing something right if people are hating and making comments.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's probably also society's fault, too. They're still like this. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I was once like that. I'm not afraid to admit that. Like, I was once like that to my own
yeah.
girlfriend back in the day. Like, oh, yeah, name all these video games, blah, 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 blah. And it's like,
yeah,
it's disrespectful. Like, I find that out, like, a few years later. And, of course, I meet stronger women who can stand up for themselves. And then they warn me, hey, be more respectful than that, you know?
Don't mess with that.
Yeah, I won't repeat the language that they told me, but that's how it essentially was. And, at least I want to be better, but I want guys to be better in general. And it's just, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I do think part of that is just, like I said, either boys, they'll come with age or maturity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think for some people, maturity comes way later than others, so that's okay.
Right.
But yeah, I think at some point, little by little, people will, I have faith that it will turn a corner. Obviously, for now, we have to deal with it, but it is what it is.
Yeah, and, you know, there are some guys out there who will help women out as well. I mean,
yeah.
Compared to the numbers of, like, you know, it's not as much compared to the numbers that are, like, trolls, basically, or, you know, that are very insecure, but, you know, we're trying to fight the good fight, basically, so.
Absolutely, and I think it's great that you mentioned that, actually, because I don't think the men that, you know, that cover this thing, that advocate women, that support women, that defend women, I don't get involved with it as far as, like, social media and Twitter, just because, like I said,
right.
If I get involved, it would just ruin my day, and I don't have all day to sit there and, you know,
yeah.
respond to trolls. But, you know, when I do log on Twitter and I see someone responding to a troll and defending these women, you know, whether it's in our business or in any business in general, or women in general, whatever she does, I think there's something so admirable about a man who does that,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think those men get enough credit,
mm-hmm.
because for them, it's also tough. They get it, too. They get it, oh, you're a man and you're covering WNBA. You know, I don't think a lot of people pay attention to that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they do support the women and advocate for them, speak up for them, I applaud those men. Yeah, I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so hopefully, like you said, you have more faith than I do, honestly, about this sort of thing, but hopefully, we'll get to a point where women don't get harassed anymore, whether it's sports or anything, really, you know?
Right.
Yeah, the world's a pretty crappy 100%. Place sometimes, yeah, but, you know.
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope so, too.
Yeah. Quick hits, I asked you, like, okay, what's your guilty pleasure songs you're listening to right now?
So lucky. My music taste is kind of all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Literally all over the place.
Uh-huh.
And it changes all the time, probably on a weekly basis.
Okay.
Right now, I'm going through this. I don't know why I even laugh, like, thinking about it, but I'm going through this LL Cool J phase that, like, old school, like Mama Gonna Knock Flat with, where that's just like my jam. Like if I need to motivate myself for something or go for a run or just clean my house or something, it just puts me in the mood. Yeah, I don't know if I should have admitted to that, but yeah, right now I'm in a cool J phase.
Awesome. Today's Michael Jackson's birthday, so what's your favorite Michael Jackson song?
Oh, what's my favorite Michael Jackson song?
I know, it's like a...
Yeah, it's kind of like an unfair question to ask if you ask me. What's your favorite Michael Jackson song?
Okay.
I find myself tied here.
Okay. Let's turn it around, right?
Turn it around.
Yeah, it's Beat It. Because, for one thing, it's the first song I can remember ever hearing when I was a baby. That I just showed my age there. But, and the music video is just iconic. Like, I love the music video. So, it's Beat It, but obviously I'll jam to any Michael Jackson song.
No, it's a good one. I mean, who doesn't like that song, right?
Right, yeah, exactly.
I'm trying to think. I think it's called, I hope I'm not butchering the name. Is it called The Way You Make Me Feel?
Yeah.
Or You Make Me Feel? I think that's the first one that popped to mind. So I'm going to go with that one. But it's almost, it's been nearly impossible to pick. I mean, you can't. There's so many. It's very hard.
Yeah, I mean, you can pick
it. But I'm going to go with that one.
You can pick a Jackson 5 song or whatever, or you can even pick, I don't know if you know the song Ben. It's
Sing it.
Yeah. Oh my, what? Ben, the two of us, we look no more.
We both found what we were looking for.
That one. Do you remember that one?
Oh yeah. Yeah,
yeah, it's about
it's funny how some songs, you hear the name of the song, and you're kind of like, which was that one? And then you hear it, and you're like, oh, duh, of course.
See, now I have to explain to everybody. It's like, yeah, Delmi just made me sing on my podcast. Like, it's probably like a first, actually. But
I gotta turn this around on you a little bit, too.
Hey, I'm fine with that. And, you know, I'm not sure, okay, because, again, we're mutual friends of Anna Melissa. So I'm not sure what else she told you about me. So I don't know if she's like, hey, Ray likes to sing or whatever. Or Ray likes pancakes or something. I don't know what she told you, so.
Well, let's put it like this. Mm-hmm. Anything that you did tell me, I don't think would be information you would like for me to say on the podcast.
Oh.
Let's not go there.
We'll talk about it after then. Go ahead and publicize your social media, your internet works, your work in general. Go ahead.
Well, like you mentioned earlier, I do cover all of LA sports. And right now, we're approaching Clipper season, LA Kings season, doing Galaxy, LAC. I feel like I'm missing something. But you can find all of my work on LASportsAxes.com. And then you can follow me across all social media platforms at Delmi Faria.
Sweet. I'm Ray Ray. She's Delmi. She's gonna knock you out. Thanks.
Game over,
Hashtag blame Ray Ray.